Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for this morning's exhortation is The Cure for the Lust of the Flesh. The lust of the flesh simply describes the desires of the flesh. And when the desires are for sinful things, unbiblical things, the King James translators opted to use the word lust to capture that it is a bad and sinful desire that we must be wary of. When a person becomes a believer, God did not annihilate and destroy our desires. The desires are still very much alive. And as long as we serve the Lord on this earth, in this earthen vessel, the desires of our body will be toward the things of this world, because we are made out of the dust of this world. And therefore, the material that is made out of this world, like our homes, our cars, our clothing, the food, everything that is of this world will have an attraction in our hearts. Whether we are believers or not, the attraction is very real. And none of us is immune. There are exceptions. The people who are immune to this are the people inside the coffin. The moment you die, the lust dies with you. And so until we die, we have to be very wary that the lust is still very much alive. And no one should let his or her guard down. We have to be very vigilant and to ensure that we do not succumb and fall into such lusts. This lust simply describes desires, and these desires are not limited to sexual. It includes food, sports, all kinds of attractive and luxurious goods and items are all part of this lust of the flesh that we are going to focus on today, that we need to be wary of. I'd like to share with you one chapter from the book of Proverbs. It describes and summarizes how the devil will use the lust of the flesh to lure us, especially the men, when it comes to sexual transgressions. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, describing a man. A young person where the hormones at that age is very, very much awakened and very strong. And very often, if they are not mindful and careful, they will allow this youthful lust to take control and lead them into transgression. And so the Bible tells us, wisdom is now personified as a human being, and he saw this young man that is void of God's wisdom, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. So this is the first step of his foolishness. Wrong place, wrong time. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, so that he could be hidden, he would not be seen and noticed. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, very beautifully dressed with all the perfume of the world to make her very attractive and seductive and subtle of heart. A heart is designed to lure, to deceive, like the subtleness of the serpent in Genesis 3 that the devil used to lure Eve. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house, now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. What is she waiting for? She is the bait. She is there to ambush. What is her target? Who does she want to ambush? The youths, a young man, void of understanding, go to places that he should not be there, go at the wrong time, where he should not be there. And now, watch. So she caught him. How did she catch him? She kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offering with me. This day have I paid my vows. So, just in case this young man thinks that he is a Christian and very spiritual, this woman used the spiritual approach to entice. I have peace offering. I have made peace with God, and so I am also like you, a believer. And this day I have paid my vows. I also keep my word. I am a righteous person. So you think this is fine. It's all right. Your guard is down. And therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. And so she inflates his ego. You are exactly the right kind of person I'm looking for. Precisely. Praise him sky high. And we are all easily praised. Are we not, young men? Not true? You are the right person I've been longing for. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with calf works, and with fine linen of Egypt. I am rich. I have money. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. And now she seduced him. Come home with me. But what about your husband? Won't we get caught? Don't worry. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. You'll not get caught. It's okay. With her much fair speech, she caused him to you. Keep on talking, seducing, pestering until he surrenders. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You see the way that the Bible so accurately describes it? Flattering of her lips, she forced him. Not by gunpoint. The flattering of her lips. And he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. And very soon, within a very one brief moment of foolishness, this simple person, young man without knowledge, understanding, he succumbed. And his life will never be the same again. One moment of stupidity and ruin his entire life of witness. And he thinks that he is a very spiritual person. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Wisdom cried, let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have had slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Proverbs chapter 7. A chapter that we must, as parents, teach our children, especially your sons. And memorize this, and make sure your husband memorize this. Because no one, especially the men, must be wary of. You cannot afford not to be wary of this. This is our weakness. How many examples do you find in the Bible of men having many wives? You can't count them. There are so many. So many of them. Right from the very beginning. When you look at Genesis chapter 4. You're going to find men having many wives. This is our weakness, and you better recognize this. The lust of the flesh is our weakness. Sexual is not just one. There are others, and some people will use the lust of the flesh to make money out of us in the spiritual realm. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, using Christianity to make money, appealing to the lust of your flesh. And through covetousness shall they make, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These are wells with the water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through many wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So first you have an example of a seductive woman using the lust of the flesh to destroy a person's life on earth. And then you have this 2 Peter, the warning from God, where there will be religious people, pastors and all kinds of religious leaders who will use the lust of the flesh to make merchandise of you, to sell the Lord Jesus Christ and make money out of Him and promise you heaven, but all they promise you is emptiness, like wells without water, clouds that appear to bring rain, refreshing rain, but nothing will come out of it. This is what we are fighting against. The desires in us must be kept under control. It will not die until you die physically. And we have to be wary. All of us, without exception. Remember, as you age, as you grow older, we focus on this the past couple of Sundays. The devil will target you more than ever before because you are now at the near end of your race, your witness for Christ, and there will be more people looking up to you, and your impact will be more damaging when you stumble and fall before you arrive home in glory. And so the lust of the flesh, since it is still very much alive, can continue to be used by the devil to seduce us. The desires of the flesh are very, very real. For food, for sports, for computer, for sexual transgressions, all sorts, the devil knows no limit. He will throw everything at you and at me. This is very common in Singapore. In other countries, he may try subtraction. Subtraction will be persecution, where he will threaten by taking things away from you. But in our world of Singapore, where the law of the land rules, we are kept safe. How many of us truly count the cost when we say we want to be Christians? Hardly. Because there is no threat of losing anything. Not like in the time of the Galatians, not like in the time of the book of Acts. When a person says, I want to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior, and before he did so, he had to think and count, literally count the cost. Am I prepared to give up my land and my job? Am I prepared to say goodbye to my children and my wife, my family? Am I prepared to lose my freedom when I'm caught? Am I prepared to die if they kill me for the sake of Christ? Do you still want to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior? And thank God many of them did. And you can read that in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He spent his whole life compiling those who suffered and died for Christ in the early days of the Christian church. But today, when you are asked to accept Christ and to consider the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is the cost that you and I truly have to count? Barely anything. And that's why when we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Bible warns us of the seductive nature of our world, especially in Singapore and all these first world countries. Because just as effective as persecution is what he throws at you, addition, I call it. He will heap upon your life more and more luxury, more and more, so much so that you have no time to surf, so much so that you have no time to do anything except to swim around in vanity. Because that's exactly what the luxurious goods of the world are, vanity. Solomon tasted everything, the best that money could buy. He surrounded his home with gold, so much gold that he made his spoons and his forks and his knives out of solid gold. It became so common. And yet at the end of his life, with more than 1,000 women in his life, with all the gold that his heart could desire, with all the praises of men that can inflame the pride of life, he had them all. And he said, it is nothing without Christ, without God. Vanity of vanities. And yet, we have people who do not learn. Do not learn from Solomon's warning and painful mistakes, so much so that we want to make the mistakes ourselves. That is foolishness. It's so much pain, so much more painful. And yet we still do not learn. How many used to be faithful in the church in their younger days when they do not have more than a $10 note in their pocket? When they realize that they have literally to count the cost in terms of dollars and cents, because all they have is $100 to use it wisely for the entire month. And they are very careful in their public transportation, in what they buy at the canteen before they buy it, and whatever they bought, they ate every single grain of rice. Nothing was wasted because they do not have much. But during those times when you do not have much material things, you pray without ceasing. Your walk with the Lord was so warm and so close and so personal. Your service, your devotion, and your worship was so heartfelt. And then you entered into the working world with your degree of higher learning and institution. And things started to change. Little by little, the devil will give you a little bit more money. And now you have a few $1,000s to spend for the entire month instead of $100. And what has happened? You definitely pray less. You become more and more attracted to the ways of the world because now you have a stronger financial strength to buy more things. You do not have to eat every grain of rice anymore. You can afford to say, I don't need so much now. And even if you ask for the rice to be half, you still do not finish it. You still leave behind one big clump and you don't mind throwing that away. What happened? What happened to those days when you ate up every grain of rice? What happened to those times when you worshiped the Lord with heartfelt feeling because you prayed and you trusted in the Lord from Monday to Saturday, and Sunday is truly a day of worship from the bottom of your soul, your heart? But now, surrounded by a bigger house, a bigger bank account, whereby your bank account is now so full that your trust is no longer in Christ, you stop praying, you stop serving, and you want more and more and more and more. The lust of the flesh has now controlled you and taken over your life and your witness. You look around you, those who do not just simply come to church on Sunday and disappear. Those who attend fellowships, YF, YAF, AF, SAF, how many of them are still around? How many young people are still around? How many of your colleagues, your friends, your contemporaries are still around who were with you once upon a time at YF? And now you may be the only one, or you and your buddy, two of you out of how many, 30, 40 young people? What happened to the rest of them? They are all now your same age. Young adults, do you have a burden for them? Do you still remember how you were all together as teenagers, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the lust of the flesh had gripped them, and now they have become lovers of the world and no longer lovers of Christ? But thank God you still are, but you must have a burden for them. You cannot be so satisfied just because you are spared that tragedy of a wasted life, that you should not have any care and concern and burden for them. We have to stop living for self. We have to start living for Christ. Because once you live for Christ, your life will never be the same again. You will not be self-centered, you will not be selfish, and you will have the strength to overcome the lust of the flesh. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul wanted for the church, or the churches in Galatia, and he wants the same for us in Calvary Pandan. The cure for the lust of the flesh. Verse 16 says, this is the first step. If you want to cure the lust of the flesh and not let it control you, first, by continuous walking. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Continue to walk in the Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you as a child of God. And so Paul says, keep on, never stop walking in the Spirit. Let the Spirit be your guide, not your own spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you will not fulfill Now the word fulfill means finish what the lust of the flesh has started. What is the normal starting point of the lust of the flesh? The beginning of a desire and attraction for something. Like in the example of Proverbs 7, the foolish young man. The starting point was wrong place. Don't go all the way. You stop there. You turn back and get out of the wrong place. And he went there, the wrong place, wrong time in the darkness of night. Now that is the starting point. It doesn't have to end in death for him. It doesn't have to end inside that strange woman's bedroom. He could just stop there, repent, turn around, and go back home. That's what it means. You must walk in the Spirit so that you will not allow what the lust of the flesh has begun in your life to complete it, to fulfill it. That's what it means. You can't do it alone. You need the Spirit of God to help you. And if you are born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. He will never leave you for eternity. Even when you are in the glorified body, the Spirit of God will continue to live in you to help you and maintain your spirituality and your holiness. The question is, do you want to walk in the Spirit? And not just walk momentarily, sporadically, when it is convenient. It is a continuous, non-stop walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit will never sleep, He will never slumber, He will never doze off, He will never depart from you. And wherever you go, if you are born again, the Spirit of God goes with you. Whether it is the wee hours of the morning, He is still there, prompting you, speaking to your conscience. And if you want to enter those terrible, horrible sites on the internet that appeal to the lust that is in you, including some of these computer games that are dangerous, that are full of gore, teaching people how to kill. That's what they say in America. Why do people do this kind of terrible things when they slaughter people? I heard from the BBC when they interview and try to find out why such people do things. And one of them said, probably a psychologist, they are so used to playing all these very terrible, very warlike, abusive, gory computer games. And when they get stuck in a particular level, they can just reset and start all over again and start killing all over again. And they get so used to it because they play this for hours and hours and hours. After killing, and you see all those graphics that are so realistic nowadays, you can reset and start all over again. And so in reality, according to this psychologist, they think that they can reset and start all over again. And so they kill their mothers, they kill their fathers, they kill their children, they kill their friends, they kill everybody, thinking that they can start, press a button and restart all over again. Reset. No resetting. No restarting. These lives are truly 100% dead. So these games, you think that it's harmless, you think that you know better, that this is just simply a game. It is impacting you and affecting you because these games are designed to lure and appeal to the lusts of the flesh. It is designed for that, to pull you so that you will not let go, so that you will be addicted, so that it controls you, forces you to lose your sleep, lose your reading Bible time, lose your prayer life, and lose your witness and service. It is designed for that. If you are so obsessed and caught up with, my study is everything, I will do everything and anything to make sure that I get A's in my studies, that kind of appeal, that kind of desire is deadly. You're going to sacrifice righteousness, holiness, honesty, you're going to cheat. You're going to do whatever it takes, including sacrificing your devotion to the Lord in order to get that. Constrained by the love of Christ will protect you. Get your motive right. Walk in the Spirit means walk according to the Scriptures. Let the Spirit of God guide you. And you cannot do that if you don't know the Scriptures. Walking in the Spirit is not just simply some theoretical, very nice head knowledge. It means walk in the way of the Bible with the Spirit of God guiding you, helping you. Because He alone is able to help us understand the Bible. He alone can give us the strength to keep on walking. That's why continuous walking in the Spirit means study God's Word and let the Word of God be your guide. You and I cannot go outside of God's Word. You have to come back to the Word of God. And so the question is, what is your Bible study program? Otherwise, you cannot keep on walking in the Spirit. You have to keep studying the Bible. You must never stop. We have the night classes in FEBC to help you. We have so many Bible studies to help you. And for mothers who are at home, we have Bible studies this coming week on Wednesday and on Thursday to help you. And then on Friday evening, we have the Bible study also to help you. And then on Saturday, we have all the fellowship groups with Bible study to help you. Why don't you want help? Why don't you want to study God? So it is the Word of your Heavenly Father who loved you and whom you say you love too. Because without the Word of God, you cannot walk in the Spirit. Because you're blank. The Spirit of God, His ministry, is to bring to remembrance what you have learned and studied. This is His ministry. He's not going to teach you new things outside of the Bible. His ministry is to bring to remembrance what Jesus Christ has taught us and revealed to us in Holy Scriptures, and He will help you understand it and give you the strength and the conviction to walk accordingly. And you can't if you don't have any portion of God's Word in your brain. He cannot bring to remembrance emptiness. He can bring to remembrance what you have learned and studied. So please do not think that as you grow older, you forget things. The Spirit of God is the one who brings to remembrance. That is part of His ministry. And He never fails. How many of us have experienced that time and time again? When you're witnessing to someone, suddenly key verses that you have memorized, that you thought you have forgotten, will just come and you can just say them. And after that 20, 30 minutes of conversation, when everything is all over, you reflect back and you try to recall the same few verses, you just simply cannot recall. It just simply won't come. But at that brief moment in time, when you are in the midst of sharing the gospel, having this spiritual battle with this sinner, the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance. Have you not experienced this before? I'm sure you've experienced this many times. Many times. The Spirit of God is real. To the child of God, walking in the Spirit continuously is the first step that will help you overcome the lust of the flesh. If the young man doesn't want to listen, he doesn't want to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God, get out, walk in the Spirit, don't walk in that direction, get out. Now if he listens, he's saved. His entire life is saved. His whole witness for Christ is saved. If he says, that's it, enough, I better get out. Don't let the lust of the flesh fulfill, be completed in your life. It has already begun. Remember, we are all still very much attracted to the things of this world. And so therefore, there will be a lot of beginnings. But it doesn't have to be fulfilled. It doesn't have to be completed. The Spirit of God will give you the strength and the conviction to say, enough, I will walk out of here. I don't want to stay here anymore. It is enough. Walk out. You play the computer game, enough. Switch it off, turn around, walk out, enough. Time to sleep, time to read the Bible, time to pray, enough. Enough. Do you have the strength to walk in the Spirit and say, enough? Don't let the lust of the flesh be completed. It has already begun. Because the moment it finishes, what awaits you is death and destruction. Now, if you are born again in Christ, remember you cannot lose your salvation. But what you can lose is your life of witness for Christ. And if the transgressions will be like that of the foolish young man, it will never be the same again. And if you are married, your marriage will never be the same again. The trust that your wife and you had been building since the day you courted, since the day you got married, having spent years and years and years building that bond of trust, can all evaporate in one moment of foolishness because you allowed the lust of the flesh to be completed in your life when you should have and could have by the Spirit of God who dwells in you, who continue to speak to you and whisper silently, stop, 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 turn around. And you don't turn around. And you let the lust of the flesh have its way and be completed in your life. And you hurt everyone that you say you loved, including your children, including everyone in the church. As a family of God, we loved you, we care for you. Walking continuously in the Spirit is what you must do. And you cannot stop there because it is a battlefield. You have to not only continue to walk, you have to continue to fight. Fight against this lust, this desire that is in your body that will try to have a control over your life. It is a battle. That's what you see in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. So just because you won yesterday doesn't mean that you're going to win today or tomorrow. It's a day-to-day continuous battle. The only time you stop fighting is when you go to sleep. When your body just simply lay down in bed and you are deep in sleep. The moment you wake up, the battle continues. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The flesh will say, come on, listen to my desire. Let my desire overcome you. And then the Spirit of God tells you, no, you cannot, you must not. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. They are not friends. They are not bosom buddies. They are opposites. They are like night and day. If there is light, there is no darkness. If there is darkness, there is no light. The desires of the flesh that continue to whisper into our ears, come on, come on. The Spirit of God saying, no, don't listen, get out. Get out, stop. It will continue to be a battle. It will not stop until the Lord calls us home. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. What does that mean? It simply means that you just simply do not have the strength to keep on doing the things that your will as a child of God desires. For example, the desires in our hearts as a child of God is not to sin at all. Not to sin at all. That's our desire. But the reality is, we know we can't. That's exactly Paul's sentiment when he shared with us Romans chapter 7. That which I know in my heart I should not do, I keep doing. That which I know that I should do, I don't have the strength to keep doing it. I don't want to miss my quiet time. From the day I was born again as a Christian, I want to keep my quiet time. That is my heart's desire, to keep spending time with God. First thing in the morning, as I begin my day, I want to hear the voice of my Lord. I want to read the Bible. That's my heart's desire. The reality is, I know I stumble. I know I fall. I know that. And so there is this battle. Simple thing like that. I want to keep my quiet time. And there are also times I want to complete the day in prayer and in the reading of God's word as well. To begin the day to hear the voice of God and to commune with Him and to end the day as I reflect upon how I have spent my day with my Heavenly Father. Reading God's word and pray again. And yet because of tiredness, because of some other busyness, I also cannot do it all the time. I also stumble and fall. This is the battle. And sometimes for some of us, even big, terrible sins like the one in Proverbs 7. I hope you have overcome that by turning your back and walk far away from those desires. Please, be careful of the danger of pornography. That is the beginning. It is really a very serious transgression. That's why Jesus says, if you are born again, I want you to know this. The moment you lust after the woman in your heart, you must know that you have already committed full-fledged adultery. And if you do not acknowledge this and see this, you will not repent. You still think that it is fine. Because the lust of the flesh is only a transgression against God. Because you have not done anything in reality yet. It is not against your wife. It is against God. And that's why God says, the moment you lust after a woman in your heart, you have committed adultery. you have committed a serious transgression against me. And I know, and you know I know. And God says to his child, you repent right there and then with all your heart. And turn your back and stay away. And do everything in your power with God's help to make sure that you avoid even the semblance of that transgression. Do whatever it takes, whatever practical steps you could to get yourself out of it. So that this power of the desire of the flesh over you is broken once and for all. It will not be dead. It will be broken once and for all. And then every moment of every day, you have to keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. It's a battle. You must recognize that it is a battle. The moment you don't recognize it's a battle, your guard is down. Where I live in the HDB flat, we thank God for many provisions because where we stay in public housing, we don't have a gym. For those who stay in condominiums, you have an air-conditioned, very well-equipped gym. And so our government provided for us a lot of outdoor gym. Very simple stuff. And then they also provide playground for children. And they have also places for us to exercise. In both of these places, do you know that they are designed with safety in mind? The ground is made of those rubbery stuff, so that if you trip or fall, you stumble for the children and also for us who exercise. We won't get hurt. There are no sharp corners. Well, every corner is rounded, and there are some parts that are even protected with some rubbery stuff, especially the playground for children. And so when you have parents and other guardians looking after the children, or for us when we go there to exercise, my guard is not up. I'm very relaxed. I don't have to walk around and be very careful where I step, whether there's any sharp broken glasses or whether there's any sharp angle that may hurt me if I'm careless. Everyone there is very relaxed because we are all in the playground. The place is designed for safety. The world is not a playground. The world that we are witnessing for Christ in is not designed for safety. It is a world of danger. And that's why your guard cannot be down. When your children go to school, it is not a playground. It is a dangerous ground where the educational system that we have is designed by the God of this world to brainwash our children. And if you do not immerse them with the Word of God, they are going to be deceived. They are going to be seduced. And when they grow up to become teenagers and then they begin to love the world, you are shocked. You are surprised. You should not be. You have been educating them in a system that is designed by the devil that will appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and you did not do anything to protect them with any portion of God's Word. Because the only protection is the Word of God, because through the Word of God, we are led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Our children need to know that there is an alternative. They don't have to succumb to the flesh. That is an alternative called the Holy Spirit. And if you as parents do not instill this in your children since they are young, and what you instill them at a tender age will remain in them far longer than much later. Because at the young age of 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever you say, they believe. This is what Jesus said to us. Your faith and your demeanor must be like a child, because of such is the kingdom of heaven, where they believe 100%, no question, no doubt. And Jesus used that demeanor of a child to describe a person who is born again. You don't doubt God's word. You don't doubt any part of the gospel or any portion of God's word. Because in heaven, everybody believe in God 100%. They don't question. And our children at that age, they are like that. All you need to do is to observe and see for yourself. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Whatever you say, whatever you put into their mouth, they trust you that you're not going to hurt them. You're going to feed them, and it is good food. Good for them. And that's why some parents, when the children are that age, they give them Coca-Cola. These parents don't know how to think. Then after that, you want them to drink water. After tasting Coca-Cola, they're not going to drink water. They're not going to drink water. How can you give them Coca-Cola? And then you take the soft drink and then you let the child have a sip. I even saw one parent let the child taste beer. Drink beer. Should have taken a photo and then send them to the police and get the police to arrest them. How can you let the child drink beer and the child is 3, 4 years old, let them drink beer, have a taste? And then they laugh and they think it's fun. Of course, this was not from our church. This is one of my family gatherings. These were unbelievers and some of them professing believers. Don't think. These are children at that age. They trust us 100% and therefore you must give them the truth and good spiritual food so that they will have a good foundation before the world naps them. Because the moment they enter into primary school, the world will nap them. That's why we have kindergarten. Christian kindergarten, to make sure that your children at those formative years, they are given good Christian emphasis teaching. I know some of you do not like it. You want to send your children to all this expensive, pay a lot of money kindergarten, thinking that it is very good for your children because you can afford it and you think that is best. But they are not Christian. So stop thinking like the world. This Christian kindergarten is a ministry. It's designed to help you, to support you. You want your children to grow up with a Christian mind, a Christian beginning in your home, and then you send them to a secular Christian, a secular kindergarten. You are doing the opposite. One moment you teach this, the next moment you have secular unbelievers instilling in them worldly philosophies and ideas when their age is so 100% impressionable. You are confusing them. One moment at home, Christian principles. 6-7 hours in this childcare, they are not Christian, but very expensive, very prestigious. The ways of the world. Your children get crazy, upset, confused. And then Sunday school, another bombardment of the Word of God. So what exactly should your child at that age accept? All kinds. Confusion, because they are contrary. The flesh and the spirit, they are contrary. They are not buddies. Contradictory. They are fighting. Don't let your child be confused just because you want her to have some prestigious notion that your child must be given the best. Best is not measured in dollars and cents. Please, you are a child of God. You should know better. Best means make sure that they have good Christian foundation for as long as possible before they are thrust into the working world. Because the education is not of God out there. In the working world, the same thing. All they care about is that they want to destroy your witness for Christ. If they can do it by pouring onto your life a lot of luxury, the devil will do it. The devil will do it so that you'll be so suffocated by your big house, your big car, and your big responsibilities that you have no time for anything else except to maintain your luxurious way of life, because that's the way we are. Once you have tasted luxury, it's very hard to give up. Very hard to give up. If you have driven a Rolls Royce, any other car you drive that is less than a Rolls Royce, it's going to be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. I mean, I was told if you ride in a Rolls Royce, it's like living in another world. It's very quiet. Everything is all kept out. It is beautiful. It is serene. It is out of this world because the price is also out of this world. True. I mean, a Rolls Royce, I can buy, 3 HDB flat? I don't know how much one costs. So if I've been driving and living and moving around in the Rolls Royce and my home has, my bedroom is bigger than a 5-room HDB flat. My master bedroom is bigger than my 5-room HDB flat. Because that's exactly what I saw. I went into somebody's house and I looked at the bedroom for the first time. Wow. It's bigger than my whole HDB flat. Now I say, why do you need such a big bedroom? And then after that, you think he's going to stay in a 5-room HDB flat? His whole bedroom is a 5-room HDB flat. Now you think he's going to downgrade and live in a 5-room HDB flat? Very hard to make the switch. That's the danger of the lust, the desires, and that's why it is a fight. The Spirit of God says, never mind. The Word of God says, stop measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. The flesh says, no, don't stop. Keep on measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. So which voice are you going to listen? If you're going to listen to the voice of the world, you're going to be sucked into the world because you want to be measured by the abundance of what you possess. And we have seen this in so many young people's life, and including middle age, including those who are about to retire, because they think that they don't have enough for retirement. And so they continue to measure themselves and put their heart and soul and their trust in the abundance of what they possess. And the devil has won. and they have lost. And the lust of the flesh had the upper hand. Or will you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God to tell you, don't measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and trust the Lord to provide what you need. Physically, you just emphasize and focus only on your spiritual well-being. Your physical well-being, don't bother at all. Trust me. Make sure your spiritual life is solid and good and healthy. That's what you must focus on only, not half-half. Trust the Lord. Will you do that? It is a fight. Just because you won when you were a student doesn't mean that you're going to win when you enter the next phase. When you start to get married, when you have young children, it is a whole new ball game, as they say, because there will be new forces, new responsibilities that you have never tasted before that will suck you into the world. The responsibilities of providing for your children and for your family, it is real. And your houses are all on mortgage. And the burden of the financial weight is real. And therefore, you begin to compromise. You stop coming for prayer meeting. You think that you can now supply for yourself by putting in more time in the world. When the real battle is spiritual, because you've forgotten that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. So how many of you used to come for prayer meeting on Tuesday evening until you started work, until you get married, until you have young children, and then now everything has taken a back seat? And the lust of the flesh again has won. So many battles, and so many times the lust of the flesh has won. Don't let it be fulfilled. Stop it. Turn it around and come back to the Lord. By continuous walking in the Spirit, by continuous fighting, and don't be weary. Keep on fighting with God's help. You can win. You can win. And then you will continue to follow. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That means continue to follow the Spirit. Listen to His voice. Let the Spirit lead you. Don't lead the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you by the hand that is according to the Word of God. And Paul concluded by saying, if this is your struggle, if this is your desire, if this is truly what you want and you have turned it into reality, then you are born again. You are truly born again in Christ. You are not under the law anymore. But if you don't have this desire, if you don't have this desire to keep on walking in the Spirit, to keep on fighting against the flesh that is warring between you and what the Spirit of God desires for you, and you are not following or led by the Spirit of God, check your salvation. Please, check your salvation. And if you are truly born again and you desire what the Apostle Paul says in these three verses, then you're no longer under the law, you're truly born again. Then live a holy life. Do whatever it takes to restore back the holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Start with your home. Start with your home. Turn your home back where Christ will now be head again. Don't let the world take over your home. And it all begins with your heart, isn't it? Does it not begin with your heart? Because the home is where your heart is. If your home is in heaven, your heart is in heaven. If your home is on earth, your heart is on earth. So this morning, the message is for your heart. The cure for the lust of the flesh is to keep on walking in the Spirit. Keep on fighting against the flesh. The Spirit must win. The flesh has won for too long, too many battles. Don't let it win anymore, because our witness for Christ must no longer be in shambles. It must come up and shine brightly and keep on following the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead and guide. Surrender to His will. Don't go against the Spirit. Don't let the Spirit drag you. Let the Spirit just simply hold your hand and walk obediently in the path that the Spirit of God leads you according to Scriptures. Don't let Him drag you, just as the two angels literally had to drag Lot and his wife and the two daughters out of Sodom. Walk out of Sodom willingly and let the Spirit of God hold your hand and walk toward the path of holiness once more. begin at home, to begin with your relationship with the Lord first, and then come back and serve. Come back for Bible study and for prayer. And the struggle, remember, will never stop. Win the battle one day at a time. One day at a time. So Tuesday prayer meeting is coming. Will you come? For those come first time. For those who have stopped coming, will you return? The Spirit of God or the lusts of the flesh? Which one? One day, one battle. And every day you win, tomorrow is a new battle. You win that, and before you know it, you win the battle for 1 week, and 1 month, and the whole year, or the remaining of this year. The cure for the reality of the lust of the flesh is with God's help. May God help all of us to win the battle against the lust of the flesh. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering in dealing with all of us. For we acknowledge that if not for Your grace and Your mercies and Your patience in our lives, we would have been consumed. Thank You, Lord, for Thy long-suffering and patience. Help us, Lord, as we have heard Thy truth this morning, that Thy Holy Spirit will bring conviction, and a conviction that must last a lifetime for the rest of our time here on earth, not to succumb anymore to the lust of the flesh. And whenever we do, O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit bring much conviction and we'll repent of it sincerely with all our heart and return back into holiness and to righteousness. We pray, O Lord, for ourselves, especially for those who are the heads of our home. Help us to be spiritual, help us to be holy, so that the homes that You have entrusted to us, it will truly be a home where Christ is head and the Word of God is law, and the Word of God is studied and obeyed. We pray, Father, that You will grant to all Your children the courage and the wisdom and the discernment that as they study, as they work, as they serve Thee at home, we may do so, always praying, trusting in You, leaning upon Thy Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, so that we may learn to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all things, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Help us as Your children to have hearts of flesh, that the word of God will not only be heard, but be obeyed. For Jesus' sake, hear us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.